At the return of breath and energy, I stood wearily up and thought with intensity that this was a damn silly way for a grown man to be spending his life. The thought itself was a jolt, not one I'd ever thought before. Riding horses at high speed over various jumps was the only way I knew of making a living, and it was a job one couldn't do if one's heart wasn't in it. The chilling flicker of disillusion nudged like the first twinge of toothache, unexpected, unwelcome, an uneasy hint of possible trouble. I repressed it without much alarm, reassured myself that I loved the life. Of course I did, the way I always had. Believed quite easily that nothing was wrong except the weather, the fall, the lost race. Minor, everyday stuff. Business as usual. Squelching uphill to the stands in paper-thin racing boots unsuitable for hiking, I thought only and firmly about the horse I'd started out on, sorting out what I might and might not say to its trainer. Discarded, how do you expect it to jump if you don't school it properly, in favour of the experience will do him good. Thought better of useless, panicky, hard-mouthed, underfed dog, and decided on might try him in blinkers. The trainer anyway would blame me for the fall and tell the owner I'd misjudged the pace. He was that sort of trainer. Every crash was a pilot error. I thanked heaven, in a mild way, that I didn't ride often for that stable, and had been engaged on that day only because Steve Millis, its usual jockey, had gone to his father's funeral. Spare rides, even with disaster staring up from the form books, were not likely to be turned down. Not if you needed the money, which I did. And not if, like me, you needed your name up on the number boards as often as possible, to show that you were useful and wanted. And there. The only good thing I supposed about my descent at the fence was that Steve Millis's father hadn't been there to record it. George Millis, pitiless photographer of moments all jockeys preferred to ignore, was safe in his box and approximately at that moment being lowered underground to his long sleep. And good riddance, I thought uncharitably. Goodbye to the snide, sneering pleasure George got from delivering to owners the irrefutable evidence of their jockey's failings. Goodbye to the motorized camera catching at 3.5 frames per second, one's balance in the wrong place, one's arms in the air, one's face in the mud. Where other sports photographers played fair and shot you winning from time to time, George trafficked exclusively in ignominy and humiliation. George was a natural-born dragger-down. Newspapers might mourn the passing of his snigger-raising pictures, but there had been little sorrow in the changing room the day Steve told us his father had driven into a tree. Out of liking for Steve himself, no one had said much. He had listened to the silence, though, and he knew. He'd been anxiously defending his father for years, and he knew. Trudging back in the rain, it seemed odd to me still that we wouldn't actually be seeing George Millis again. His image, too familiar for too long, rose sharply in the mind. Bright, clever eyes, long nose, drooping moustache, twisted mouth, sourly smiling. A terrific photographer, one had to admit, with an exceptional talent for anticipation and timing, his lens always pointing in the right direction at the right moment. A comic, too, in his way, showing me less than a week ago a black-and-white glossy of me taking a dive, nose to ground, bottom up, with a caption written on the back, Philip Knorr, arse high to a grasshopper. One would have laughed, but for the genuine ill will which had prompted his humour. One might have at least tolerated his debunking approach, but for the cruelty sliding out of his eyes. He'd been a mental thrower of banana skins, lying in wait to scoff at the hurt, and he would be missed with thankfulness. When I finally reached the shelter of the veranda outside the weighing room, the trainer and owner were waiting there with the expected accusing expressions.
"Misjudged things pretty badly, didn't you?"
said the trainer aggressively.
He took off a stride too soon.
"Your job to put him right."
No point in saying that no jockey on earth could always get every horse to jump perfectly, and particularly not a badly schooled rogue. I simply nodded and smiled a shade ruefully at the owner. "Might try him in blinkers," I said.
"I'll decide about that